The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. The Explorers podcast is sponsored by RM Capital, a provider of specialist, small to mid-cap corporate advisory and boutique wealth management services. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perro columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers podcast. Now today, it's got to be said the gold sector is back in town, with inflation fears driving the yellow metal back through US $1,800 an ounce and how. It means investors are switched on to the sector again after pretty much ignoring it for much of the year while the battery metal sector went on a bit of a tear. And it's got to be said that there is nothing that excites more than high-grade gold, and that's doubly so when we're talking about Victoria, where Canada's Kirkland Lake fired up interest in the state's high-grade gold potential with the discovery a few years ago at its Fosterville mine near Bendigo. It discovered the Swan Zone beneath what was otherwise a fairly ordinary gold mining operation. Swan, of course, now underpins production at Fosterville, which in 2020 produced 640,000 ounces of gold at a grade of more than 33 grams a tonne, or more than 1 ounce a tonne. It is now one of the most profitable gold mines in the world, if not the most profitable. And just rounding off on Fosterville, more than $100 million was recently committed by companies which tendered for four exploration blocks around Fosterville. All that is scene-setting stuff for today's interest, Kaiser Reef. It trades under the code of KAU and last traded at 22 cents for a market cap of about $30 million. It owns two historic high-grade gold mines in Victoria, the A1 mine, about 40 kilometres south of Jameson in the east of the state, and the Morden Goldfield, about 40 kilometres southwest of Bendigo in central Victoria, and obviously not all that far from the Fosterville operation. It has been, the company has been producing ore from the A1, from exploration slash development work, and sending it off to the Porcupine Flat Treatment Plant at Morden for treatment. And at Morden itself, an exploration program, which has got a lot of punters excited, has kicked off looking for more of the high-grade material Morden is known for. We've got Kaiser's MD, Jonathan Downs, with us today to bring us up to speed on the Kaiser story. G'day, Jonathan. Thanks for your time today.
Hi, Barry. Thank you very much.
Jonathan, we could start with either Morden or A1. Let's go with the A1 because you're actually producing gold there. I think it would be a good idea if you could give people a feel for, I'd refer to, you know, exploration slash development. Obviously, the company's working to get a bit of scale going there, but you are producing gold. So tell us about that initially.
Sure. The A1 gold mine is one of Australia's longest running gold mines, and it's a very high grade gold mine. I think it's produced gold at nearly 30 grams a tonne over its life. And we're about, we're at the 13 level now, which is over 500 metres deep. And we have a team of miners, and we're currently air-legging high-grade ore. I think the last batches have been running about 15 grams a tonne gold. So we get some fabulous high-grade gold out of the mine. And it's quite a small-scale mining using these handheld mining techniques. But over the past year, we've been drilling out a much wider ore body called the Queen's Lode, and we're just finalising the engineering work to bring that into production. And that's a lode that's up to 15 metres wide in parts and will allow us to mechanise mine it. And just a couple of weeks ago, we mined our first batch out of the Queen's Lode, and we were able to triple our production rate and utilising the existing mining fleet that we own. So that was a great little proof of concept, and putting the decline a little bit deeper into the higher grade portion of the Queen's Lode is our next focus, and trying to ramp up production out of the Queen's Lode. So the future from that mine is looking great, and there are some high grade reefs that we'll be punching through as we get to the main mining plan, and they, I think, a week ago, we announced 1.2 meters at 91 grams from what we've modeled as the Jupiter lode, which was a fabulous high grade reef in its day. So the fact that that continues at depth is exciting, and we're now at a level where the old timers never got to as well on the northern side. So it's very exciting times for that mine.
Yeah, it's a very famous mine, not only in Victoria but the Australian gold mining scene. I should have mentioned that, production history does go back to 1861 with a few breaks here and there. But the old timers used to focus on the narrow reefs, which you were talking there about the airleggers. And they were looking, obviously, for the 30-gram dirt. But this Queen's Lode, apparently it's a bit more disseminated, lower grade, but still high grade compared to the rest of the Australian gold industry. And apparently it gives you the chance to both airleg and mechanise mining, so to get the tonnes up.
Yes, that's right. It's still actually quite high grade, but I think some of our drill holes were pretty impressive. We were getting sort of 20 meters at 12 grams of gold in some of the Queen's Lode intercepts. So not your typical narrow vein stuff that you get out of the Victorian goldfields. This is hosted by a diorite, and it's a different beast in a way, but it is shot through with these high grades. So the old timers couldn't mine it. As you said, it was disseminated. There are no visual clues as to where the high grade sits. And we're at this point in time with a strong gold price and modern mining techniques that we can take the lot, and we're going to get some great production out of that.
Yeah, I should have mentioned when I talk about low grade in Victoria, even if it was, say, I don't know, 5 grams, we're talking the Australian average gold mine grade is less than 2 grams of gold a tonne nowadays. So Victoria is very much the high grade domain in within the industry. Now, I was just wondering, as point of interest, Victoria got a bit of a shake recently with a big 6 on the Richter scale earthquake. How did the old A1 shape up?
the epicenter of the earthquake, while quite deep, was actually about 20 kilometres from the mine, so we were right near it, and it was pretty hairy for the guys who were underground at the time and the guys on the surface, actually. But I'm actually surprised how little damage, no damage was identified at all in the underground workings. So we were very, very lucky.
Now, I mentioned you're carting the ore to the Porcupine flat mill at Malden. Something that interests me was the mill at Porcupine Flat has had, it's been relined, and I think you reported recently that some of those, the nuggety gold from the A1 mine's been caught up in the cracks of the new liners, and will sit there until you do a clean out, I suppose, at some stage.
Yes, it's a slight working capital hiccup for us, but after cleaning out the mill, because the gold is so coarse at the A1 mine, and gold by its nature is so malleable, it's sort of been hammered into the cracks. So the mill's now literally gold lined, and it's consumed over a third of our production the last quarter, which is nearly a couple of $1 million worth of gold just tied up there. And we'll get it out when we clean it out next time. It's an interesting situation. I'm pleased to say that the gold that we're putting through the mill now is reporting straight to the back end, though. So all the gaps are filled.
Now, is it given the nature of the operation at the A1, it's not as if you have got production targets out there just yet?
No, the nature of narrow vein gold, it's actually quite complex to predict exactly what you're going to get. So to come up with reserves that comply with the JORC code and that we could put guidance notes out to the stock exchange, it's problematic. So like the Norseman gold mine used to, it's more of a mining as you go. And we have been drilling for nearly a year out down at the A1, and we've got more certainty than we've ever had there, and we have done a internal resource estimates for the Queen's Lode, but It's a very hard one to put out those guidance numbers, just given the nature of this particular style of mineralisation.
Do you have a feel for what sort of ounces you might need, say, even on an annual basis, for the operation to wash its face, pay for its, pay for the operation and some exploration work?
Yes, this month of November, it looks like we'll actually do that. We'll cover all our costs, all our exploration, and make some money. So we're at that point. We wouldn't keep the operation running if we weren't confident that it wasn't going to turn around. But it has been run down for the previous couple of years as it was in administration, and that's a long, complex story. But we've actually been investing a lot of money into opening up new levels to give us access to new high-grade lodes and drilling out this Queens deposit. So we've been doing a lot of work for the future, and the plan is, and we're quite confident, will be to return that money and start making some real cash out of this operation. So we're very excited about where we're heading. It's going to take a few more months yet before we get right into the thick of it, but a lot of that money has now been expended. We're in a strong cash position, so we're very confident about where it's heading.
In terms of exploration, is it extensional in nature, chasing the chutes or the lodes at depth, or are you pushing beyond that as well, endeavouring to find new reefs and lode positions? Well,
that's a very good question, because we've literally only just reached the top of, the bottom of the limit of where the old timers got to on the northern part of the A1 mine. So in all the previous years after the 1800s, people have just been largely remnant mining, as mechanized mining's allowed, or lower mining cost techniques have allowed us to access. Or for the first time ever, we're now hitting virgin ground, and that's going to be very exciting. That's going to be a game changer. We did, in the course of our drilling, throw some deep diamond drill holes right down where we thought the diorite continues, and it continues, and it was hosting gold. It was showing us that the system persisted at depth. So theoretically, another 300 metres depth is probably another 10 years of life at the current mining rates. So I think the mine's got a long life ahead of it.
Who would have thought after 160 years of more or less continuous production? Fantastic. Okay. Now, let's switch our interest across to Maldon, which another historic goldfield, 1.7 million ounces at 28 grams a tonne, just shy of an ounce a tonne there. Most of it within the first 300 metres of the surface. You've got the fully developed Union Hill decline there, which has all been cleaned out, giving you access to underground. So you're drilling from underground now, are you? There.
Yes, that's right. We're targeting one of the big reefs from the old days, I guess. Maldon was also a sort of a mid-1800s mining operation. It was one of the big ones. It went from Ballarat, Maldon, Bendigo, and Castlemaine. And it had a fabulous production history. We're very fortunate that this granted mining license has got an existing modern decline right down the centre of the goldfield, which was largely put in for exploration purposes, and it's got its ventilation and power, so it's only 3 kilometres away from the processing plant. So I guess from an infrastructure perspective, we're blessed. But getting to the geology very quickly, it sits in what they call the Bendigo block, and that is the host of the Fosterville mine and Bendigo and Ballarat. So it's famous for its high grade narrow vein mining that I'm glad to say that Kirkland Lake, if shown, can be extremely profitable. And it's a little hard for investors sometimes to understand that 1 meter at 100 grams is a much better drill hole than 10 meters at 10 grams, but both of them contain the same amount of metal. And you can extrapolate it right down to, 10 centimeters at 100 grams is is actually a pretty good drill hit as well. And you need to do that. You need to multiply the width by the actual gold grade to come up with a gram meter, which tells you how much metal's in there. And there, it's a different beast from what you normally see in Kalgoorlie, where we are chasing really high grades but narrow vein. And that's our bread and butter mining at the A1 mine. So the mining fleet and the mining team are the ideal setup to exploit that.
Right. I can vouch for the good condition of that decline, because I think it was must have been in the early 90s. I did a mine visit there, and one of the stockbrokers who was driving a Lexus drove 50 metres down the decline. he was too lazy to walk. So now the incredible thing about Morden, of course, is that the reefs and the chute systems extend over sort of a strike length of 3 kilometres. And at the northern end, you've got the Nuggety Reef, which in itself is, well, it's well-known, Nuggety Reef, 300,000 ounces at more than 6 ounces of gold a ton. Apparently, you've been advancing permissions to get drilling there?
Yes, because that one sits on the surface effectively at the northern end of the Molten Goldfield. We are planning to drill that one from surface, and that took us a little while, but the government's been fantastic, and we now have all the permits ready to drill that. We've actually had some troubles finding a team to operate the diamond drill.
A drilling crew, yeah.
Got allocated, okay. Yes. So it's with COVID, it's made travel for crews complex, and it is a bit of a gold mining boom on, which is making labour shortages of skilled people pretty tight as well. So that's a challenge, and hopefully any day now we'll be able to let people know that we've kicked off drilling. What I could be wrong, but I think it's Australia's highest grade historic gold mine. So that would be very exciting.
Yeah, well, in metric, 187 grams per tonne. So, yeah, fantastic stuff. You wouldn't need too many tonnes of that to have a decent mining operation on your hands, which is the beauty of Victorian gold when you get onto one of these systems.
Yeah, well, they did drill some holes. Western Mining even had the ground at one point, and they were looking for bigger gold systems or wider gold systems, but they returned half a metre at 200 grams, 205 grams a tonne, in fact. So it wasn't enough, and so we've got these fabulous results tantalisingly sitting there to follow up.
No, I don't think we need to go into it too much, but the company's ability to gain 100% control of the goldfield is a result of you acquired it from an administrator, was that right?
Yes, that's right. So so we paid what it was required to settle with the creditors rather than what the goldfield was worth. So we think there's a huge value disconnect with the company. I think we've got one of the great goldfields, and I think we've been largely overlooked with our market cap at this point in time, but it's up to us to get those two diamond drill rigs going at Molden and really prove up some value.
That's why I actually made a point of mentioning that the Victorian government's tender of those exploration permits around Fosterville, some of which no one thinks much to them. That was $100 million in exploration commitments, yet here we've got you with complete ownership of the Morden Field, including Nuggety out there to the north, with a market cap of less than 40 mil.
Yes, some of my shareholders make this point to me. So we're trying to market the company, and we're trying to bring out some drill results and get re-rated, Barry.
Yep. Now, on that score, just in recent days, you've reported some drilling results from Morden. Could you run through those for us?
Yes. So we went about three quarters of the way down the decline, and we started drilling out an area of the Eagle Hawk Reef that hadn't been tested before, that kind of sat in a small fault offset, and we drilled a few holes into that area to see if we could come up with some interesting results. And some of those drill holes were only 20 metres off the actual decline, so pretty easy to access if we did find something. And well, I think we got some fabulous first pass results of which include 0.3 at 54, 1.8 at nearly 30 grams, 29.6 grams a tonne, and up to 33 and 12. So some really lovely high-grade numbers. narrow load, but sitting in the right geometry to represent what is modelled as the Eagle Hawk Reef. So the geologist did a great job at identifying where the target was and hitting it. So that was a very encouraging start. With that underground rig, we're now going to be looking a little more boldly and a little deeper. The vast majority of the production only came from the top 200 metres, which, as you stated, produced 1.7 million ounces at 28 grams. That's remarkably similar to the Fosterville reserves. So the question is, do we have the potential for this system to continue at depth like it did at the higher levels? And we're pretty comfortable and confident that it does, but it's going to take quite a lot of drilling and a lot of time. And we hope to have a steady stream of news flow as we drill it out.
And on that point, how are you off for the company cash position for the program at both A1 and Maldon?
Well, we did a small raising a little while back, so we're in a strong cash position. I think we've got the last quarterly, if you're back in the raising, shows about 6.5 in the bank. But we spent all that money we needed to really get that to upgrade most of the A1 mine operations, and we're hopeful to start making some meaningful money out of that that should, targeted to cover all our costs and all our drilling.
Alrighty, folks, there we go. Very interesting story in the Victorian scene. Kaiser Reef, ASX code KAU. Jonathan, thanks for your time today and for running through the what's been happening at Morgan and the A1. And with that, we're going to say thanks very much for your time and best of luck with it. We'll be watching with interest.
Great. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Barry.
Cheers. This episode of the Explorers Podcast was sponsored by RM Corporate Finance, an active participant in emerging companies around the globe.